I want to talk this morning about the journey of Simon Peter. Peter makes a bit of a journey in this gospel, and I suspect that if we could allow it to be so, that Peter is an image for us as well. If we learn a little bit about Peter in this gospel, perhaps we'll also learn a little bit about ourselves. So let's focus on the journey of Simon Peter. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, there's a kind of a regrettable reversal that takes place. The reversal is that Peter is with the others, and not all the apostles, but many of them are there, and he says to them, "I'm going back to fishing." Now, it's not simply, "I think I'm going to throw a pole and relax by fishing." That's not recreation. He's got his commercial nets out. So you see, brothers and sisters, he's going back to commercial fishing. Now, this is a regrettable reversal because the Lord called him away from fishing. If you will, you recall the passage where he was in Simon Peter's boat and he said, "Lower your nets for a catch." And Peter said, "You're crazy. We don't fish in the middle of the day." And the Lord says, "Just do it." And huge catch. Simon Peter fell to his knees and said, "Have mercy on me. I'm a sinful man." The Lord says, "Don't worry. From now on, you'll be catching human beings, not fish." And Peter, it said in that text, left his nets and went and followed Jesus. So now, here we are at the lakeside. And even though Peter has already seen Jesus alive, he backslides. He says, "I'm going back to fishing." Brothers and sisters, you and I, we've seen some wonderful things in our life, haven't we? Has the Lord worked wonders in your life? But I tell you, too often, we still backslide. We go back to stuff, to attitudes, to things that we do that we know the Lord called us away from. And so it is that the first thing I just want you to notice in Simon Peter's journey is that there's a regrettable reversal. And it's regrettable for another reason. You see, when you and I fall or backslide, we usually take other people with us. Come on, church. You start to gossip and you draw other people in, don't you? You don't gossip all by yourself. We start to do all kinds of things, and so often we involve other people with us. So here you've got not just Simon Peter backsliding, but you've got the other apostles with him. So stage one is a regrettable reversal. Peter is struggling. So do we. Now, the next stage in his journey is a redeeming reminder. We go from regrettable reversal to a redeeming reminder. The Lord, "Stand on the lake shore." Some of us were in the Holy Land and we stood on that spot. And the Lord called out to them. They were probably 100 yards out. And he says to them in Greek, you know, the Greek is literally, "Little children, have you caught anything?" You see, I don't care if you're 80 years old, you're still God's little child. Come on, church. He talks to grown men, but he calls out to them. And he says, "Have you caught anything?" Not a thing. Because church, when you backslide, When you go back to doing stuff you got no business doing, don't expect any good fruit from it. But the Lord wants to remind them of how he called them in the first place. And so he says to them, well, put your nets on the other side of the boat for a catch. Does that sound familiar? Still, it doesn't dawn on Peter or the others. So they lower their nets, and all of a sudden, a huge number of fish. We're told later it's 153 of them. And suddenly it dawns on John, it is the Lord! I woke a few of you up, I saw that. It is the Lord! And suddenly Peter comes to his senses. And he doesn't just say, well, I guess I better saunter this boat back to shore and stop fishing. He just dives right in. Are you praying with me, church? Don't delay your conversion to the Lord. As soon as it dawns on you, don't wait to just get, well, let me put a few things in place and I'll improve myself. Just dive right in. It's called getting to confession. It's called repentance. And so Peter dives in. He swims to shore. So we have a redeeming reminder. The Lord is not too hard on Peter, is he? He just reminds him. Remember, Peter, how I called you? And remember that I called you away from fishing? The Lord isn't mean-spirited to Peter. He just gives him a gentle reminder. Sometimes in life, the Lord does that for us. Maybe it's a dusty Bible. Maybe it's driving by a church that we used to attend. Maybe it's just some reminder. The Lord gets to us. The next stage in Peter's journey, we've seen that there's a regrettable reversal, and then there's a redeeming reminder. Now there comes a reorienting repast. As Peter comes on shore, he sees something that's both remarkable and troubling. He sees that the Lord has a charcoal fire burning there, and that he's cooking a meal. Those of us who went to the Holy Land remember that the church there on that site is called Mensa Christi, which means the table of Christ. Now, what's remarkable is, can you imagine the Son of God cooking a meal? Just cooking breakfast. Oh, church, it's a beautiful image, isn't it? A God who humbles himself to just cook breakfast for his disciples, for his apostles. That's remarkable. But as Peter comes on shore and sees that charcoal fire, I wonder if he wasn't troubled. Because you see, just a week or so before, Peter was by another charcoal fire. It was in the courtyard of Caiaphas, the high priest. We went there too, Holy Land pilgrims. And there was a charcoal fire burning in that courtyard of the house of Caiaphas. And it says that Peter was warming himself by that fire. And then a woman said, "You must be one of his disciples." "I don't know him." "Surely you're one of his disciples." "I tell you, I don't know him." "You must be. I know by your accent you're from Galilee." "I tell you, I don't know the man." Just a few weeks ago, Simon Peter, at a charcoal fire, three times denying that he knew the Lord. So maybe as Peter comes on shore and he sees that charcoal fire, maybe then it occurred to him why he was troubled in heart, why he'd gone back to fishing, that deep pain of having denied the Lord. And so it is, the first item in this reorienting repast is the charcoal fire. And the Lord has this meal with them, and then he takes Peter aside for a conversation. Now, there's a lot of debate among scripture scholars about what I'm about to present to you. Because there's a very interesting thing that takes place in the Greek text. The Lord is using one word for love. He says to him, Peter, do you love me? And the Lord is using one word for love. And Peter is using a different word for love. Now, I just want to say before I get into this, that some scripture scholars say this is a distinction without a difference. It doesn't matter. To the early Greek speakers, they didn't make any distinction between these two words. I will say that there is probably a lot of truth in that. And you can read more about it on my blog. I posted an article there last night, so I'm not going to get into that with you tonight, this morning. You want to learn more about it? Go to my blog. But I do want to say to you, I do think there is something important hidden here by the Holy Spirit. And whether the Greek speakers of the early centuries of the church noticed it or not, I've noticed it. And I'm your preacher. And I want to work this difference with you because I think something is very important here. The Lord says to Peter in Greek, Petros, agapas me. And Peter says, Kyrie, Lord. And he doesn't say agapose. He says phileose. Now, what Jesus says in the Greek is, Peter, do you love me with what we've come to call agape love? But Peter doesn't say, yes, I love you with this agape love. What is meant by agape love? Again, great debates about how the early Greek speakers understood this word. But for our purposes today, agape love is a strong, unconditional, divine kind of love. It's a love without condition. It's a love that's committed and total. And so the Lord says to Peter, do you love me with that kind of a love? And Peter does not say, no, yes, I love you with agape love. He says, I love you with brotherly love. Phileose, I love you with brotherly love. It's kind of like saying, didn't you really love that movie? Yeah, I liked it. The Lord is asking for this up here. And Peter's finally, church, I said finally, being honest. He's boasted all through the gospel, hasn't he? Everyone will abandon you, but I'll never abandon you. Yeah, right. Finally, I said finally, Peter's being honest with Jesus and with himself. Lord, you're asking for this kind of a love. I can only give you brotherly love. Have mercy on me, Jesus, but all I have in my broken, wounded, limited heart is brotherly love. You ever feel that way, church? Haven't you heard me in this pulpit talk about the heights of Christian love? And you say, all right, preacher, I'm getting there. I'm not quite there yet, preacher. You tell me I gotta forgive. I'm working on it. But at least you're being honest. And Peter is the same way here. The second time, Jesus asked Peter, Petros, agapas me. Peter, do you love me with agape love? Peter doesn't say, I love you with agape love. He says, phileose, kyrie. I love you, Lord, with brotherly love. And the third time, Jesus says to Peter, and this time he does not say, all right, Peter, agapas me. He doesn't say that a third time. He says to Peter, all right, Peter, phileis me. Peter then, all right, do you love me with brotherly love? And Peter is sad. He says, Lord, you see and you know that I only love you with brotherly love. A very poignant moment of honesty, where Peter is finally saying to Jesus, here's who I really am. I'm not playing any games. I'm not making any empty promises. I'm not going to boast. I'm just going to be honest. And I'm going to say, here's what I can give you. And Jesus does not reject Peter. Because all along he's saying to him, all right, Peter, feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. I want to give you the care of my people. See, even in our brokenness, church, the Lord can still use us. Someone say, hallelujah. Because if you're waiting to be perfect before the Lord can use you, you're going to wait a long time. You got to go past death to get there. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If the Lord could use Balaam's donkey to speak, I guess he can even use me. A very beautiful moment here. Now, the journey of Peter, let's just sum it up and conclude, is a regrettable reversal. He went back to fishing. But there was a redeeming reminder. Remember, Peter, how I called you? And Peter dives in and comes back to Jesus. And then a reorienting repast, where Peter gets in touch with the denials in that charcoal fire. And he sees it. And it touches his heart. And then Jesus asks him, do you love me with total love? No, Lord. I gotta be honest. I love you with brotherly love. I do love you. But I can't say to you, I love you with total love. All right, Peter. Then do you love me with brotherly love? I'll take what I can get, Peter. And I'm going to work with you. The final stage in Peter's journey is the required remedy. The Lord simply says to him, follow me. And he says, Peter, one day, you're going to die for me. One day. See, when you were a young man, you tied your belt and you went around as you pleased. But someday, somebody's going to tie you and lead you off to where you don't want to go. The text says that Jesus said this to Peter to say to him that one day you will glorify me by your death. And church, Peter did die a martyr's death. They crucified him upside down. By request, Peter said, I do not deserve to die in the way my Savior did. Crucify me upside down. And finally, at the end of his life, Peter was able to say, Lord, now I love you totally. Now I love nothing, no thing, and no one more than you. I love you above all things, totally. On the day of his death, Peter could say that. And so Peter, in all of his struggles, is you and me. Do you love the Lord totally? Now be honest. One day you will. I said, one day you will. I've seen it where people finally gave their life totally to God. Very often it was on their deathbed. But they finally said, I surrender all. All to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. You may not be there today, but I promise you, brothers and sisters, the Lord will get you there. Just listen to what he says. Follow me. And one day, you will sing, all to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. That's Peter's journey, and it's your journey and mine too. Amen.